Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands. Welcome, Evan Knox. Evan, you're having your own company, Caffeine Marketing, based out of Atlanta, Georgia. Can you introduce yourself on our Marketing Technology Podcast?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. My name's Evan. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I run a marketing agency called Caffeine Marketing. We make profitable marketing easy for small businesses that are doing less than $25 million a year in revenue. We're also StoryBrand certified guides. I also serve as a CMO in a few businesses that I'm a partner in. And it's kind of my little short intro.
Cool. So Caffeine Marketing, do you have like specializations that you focus on, like specific industries or specific techniques or specific software or whatsoever?
Yeah. So there's two things that I feel like we really specialize in. The first one is that StoryBrand framework that I mentioned. We use that in all of our marketing, and we could talk more about that later. But basically, it invites customers into a story instead of trying to tell your own story. And so whenever we're creating our customers' marketing, we use that 7-part framework called StoryBrand in order to clarify their message and also convert more potential visitors into customers. So that's the main thing. The second thing is that we also start strategy first. So for all of our clients, we build out the marketing plan to begin with, and then we don't sell like a la carte services. We start with the marketing plan, and we will only work with people that we're like very confident the marketing is going to be profitable for. So like we'll run the calculations based off what we think the conversion rates are going to be or cost per acquisition and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And try to only, make marketing that is profitable to stick to that brand promise that we talked about.
Cool. So you definitely need to tell us more about that StoryBrand, because I've heard some stuff about it. Some listeners might not have heard about it. You're talking about certified StoryBrand guides. What is StoryBrand?
StoryBrand was started by a guy named Donald Miller. Donald Miller was a best-selling author many times over here in the US. And he had been in the business space before, but after writing a couple like memoirs or whatever, decided to get back into the business space and use the 7 parts of story to create marketing messaging. So he essentially kidnapped the basic 7 principles of story and then used that in order to create a story framework. And a really, really brief overview of what the StoryBrand framework, some of the 7 points. First off, you're defining who the character is. I think that's kind of central to all marketing, is who is that persona and what do they want? Mm-hmm. So you very simply define that. And then the next part is that you actually define what's the problem that they're encountering. So you align with your customers and you say, hey, you are experiencing this, X, Y, whatever. And you identify an external problem, an internal problem, and a philosophical problem. And very simply, that internal problem is the feeling that they feel whenever they're encountering the external problem that your product solves. Because all of us sell solutions to products, or we sell our products as solutions to problems. And then you essentially are establishing yourself as the guide. And so the whole, not the whole thing of the StoryBrand framework, but the main theme of StoryBrand is that you want to be the guide. You don't want to be the hero in the story. And then, and that's the rest of that StoryBrand framework. You're essentially painting a picture of success for your potential customers, or our clients and their potential customers, and also identifying what failure looks like. And failure could be really anything that's at risk if they don't do business with this potential client or customer or your business.
So cool. So, how many businesses worldwide use the StoryBrand methodology? Can you make a guess? Or because it's something I keep on hearing coming up more often. So it must be something that's been adopted by multiple companies.
Yeah, I'd say several thousands. I don't know that they've reached the 100,000 mark. I know that they've probably got that many people listening to their podcast, so I'm sure that their reach and brand awareness is that big. However, the ones who have actually gone through the framework itself is probably less than 100,000, but like tens of thousands for sure. And we as guides, so as a StoryBrand certified guide, I pay to go to StoryBrand and I get trained with their team for a week in order to actually execute the framework for our clients. So StoryBrand guides are either freelancers or agencies. And we are creating the marketing material using the StoryBrand framework itself. So StoryBrand, they teach the framework. And then we as guides, we actually create the marketing material using the framework, because what happens is a lot of people, when they're trying to work on their own company, even though they understand the principles of StoryBrand, they're so close to their own product, they have the curse of knowledge. And essentially, that means that they can't articulate what they do in a simple way because they just are so knowledgeable about their own product or service.
Nice. So do you adopt this, the framework yourself for caffeine marketing?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is not a plug for my website, but it's a pretty good example of it. So if you went to caffeine.marketingno.com, you'll see that all of our marketing is not making us the hero. So we are positioning ourselves in the guide by saying, hey, you want to run the company of your dreams. You want marketing that's actually profitable. You want to, you know, whatever it is, what is that aspirational identity of this customer or this client? And we paint that picture for success. And we also tell them what's at risk if they don't work with us. So marketing that's frustrating, that leaves them wanting more, it's not going to represent their brand well, whichever. And so in an indirect way, we're talking about ourselves and the service that we provide, but we're not saying, hey, we're awesome. We've been around for this many years. You know, we've served this, we might say we've served this many clients, but that's all to alleviate any fear for the potential customer. But all of our marketing should be making us the guide and not the hero of the story. Kind of like Yoda and Luke Skywalker, you know, like Yoda's not the main guy of the story, but Luke is, but Yoda is the one who already has it figured out. You know, he's there to help Luke basically defeat Darth Vader or whatever movie you're watching.
Cool. So this whole StoryBrand approach makes me think about Cialdini's 7 persuasion principles. Have you heard about those?
The principles sound familiar. His name does not. So why
Cialdini, Robert Cialdini, he has a national bestseller called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. So that's a book I would really read if I were you. So it's like it's something you could find on Amazon, of course. I'll put it in the show notes. But Cialdini has 7 persuasion principles that you should follow in order to have more convergence, basically. So he shares the whole psychology behind it. If you read the book, it's so familiar. Everything you see, he has very practical examples, and it's I would bet it's very useful within the StoryBrand approach. Cool. So I want to know more about caffeine marketing, because you're an agency. Yeah. So based out of Atlanta or Sandy Springs, I see. Currently we're in the middle of this this whole Corona thing. There's different opinions from agency owners I hear here, because when you're looking at agencies, of course, that's outsourced stuff. So people try to cut that first out. Have you felt that as well, or do you see that happening, or do you think this is all an opportunity and you see loads of opportunities and your revenue is growing? So I just want to hear your view on this.
Yeah, totally. Obviously, there's the, you know, health concern that I feel like a lot of us who are not personally affected aren't really sure what to think. Or so there, my heart goes out to the people who are personally affected by this, and this is part of their everyday life. And obviously, so much can change in a week or 2 weeks, as it has up to this point. So that's the first off the main like health concern. But like as me as a business owner, there's so many thoughts that go into my mind, right? Like I first off am just thankful that, you know, I've run my company in a way that we've got margin for something like this. It's like, let's say we don't have anything, you know, like all sales cancel, like worst case scenario, like we're okay for like a year, you know. But I think there's a lot of businesses who are not, and the ones who are, you know, over leveraged, I feel like they are like just very, very worried right now. And so if I did not have the margin I do right now, I would be right there with them, because what does next month look like? And I go to a gym, I do this thing called Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and it's like a MMA sport thing. And that gym, it's like, you know, we're all kind of worried for the gym, you know, because it's like nobody's showing up and everybody's pausing their memberships. And I don't know if they're going to make it, but we will see.
Well, that's the thing, you know, that pausing of memberships, that's a new thing, I would say. You know, it's like I've not seen that happen before, but I've heard from agency owners that work with retainers or work on monthly subscription basis that they've had customers calling in and asking to basically stop it for a little while or suspend it for a little while. Or, you know, does that happen in your business as well?
So for caffeine, I've not yet had that happen. I feel like I've kind of, not to say that I've had the opposite, but I think that people having a little margin who are not like having tunnel vision right now do see the opportunity, kind of like we were talking about, in order to renovate things in their company, whether that's their, you know, actual storefront or their website, or they know that they need a marketing funnel, but yet they've just been so distracted by other things in the whirlwind of their day-to-day life that they haven't done it yet. So surprisingly, you know, revenue is up right now, but I'm kind of holding my breath. You know, I don't know either, you know, like there's a lot of the clients who might be affected by this. So the path forward is uncertain. I'm not scared, and I don't think most people should be scared or worried. I feel like it's going to be a learning experience. There's a ton of opportunity. But the interesting thing is I'm part of this little, I call us micro private equity, because I'm like, y'all, we're going to sell to like real private equity. Like we're not, we're not crushing it like some of these guys. We refer to those people as high net worth individuals. And as this little private equity group, we've got a holding, you know, I serve as the marketing director for all these little companies that we have. And some of those are taking a hit. And we can see it. Like I can see announcements being made, and then like e-commerce is a great example. I can see the analytics day to day, and all of a sudden my conversion rates are down 50%. And I'm like, what? Just out of nowhere. We changed nothing on the site. And it's just like, you have to be innovative in a season in order to make it through. And there's also opportunities. Like there's going to be a lot of people who are business owners who may want to take a break from their business. They might want a more stable job. And so that's an opportunity for us to come along as our little partnership group and, you know, either buy them out or work with them in order to sell their company. So there's opportunity and there's risk.
There's, yes, of course. And I would, the way we've done it at Marketing Guys this week, because we're into this a week now here in Europe, right, and at least in the Netherlands, because Italy has been going on for a couple of weeks or a month already. But the way we are approaching this is that we're visualizing industries that are very opportunity full. So there's a lot of opportunity within a couple of industries for us. You mentioned e-commerce. So everyone is ordering online. Other industries are the pharmaceutical industry, of course. So look at the people that are supplying all those hospitals with all the kind of diagnostical machines, et cetera, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
ICT, legal services, financial services, they are all booming at the moment.
Yeah.
So
real estate, and it's weird.
Real estate here in the Netherlands is basically shut down, from what I've heard from real estate agents, which I spoke to this week. I happened to have a couple as a customer, I just gave them a call and I just asked them, like, how is your business? And basically what they told me is that people last week they had some sales going on. They have they have put some houses on the market. Like last week, they would have sold houses within a week. And now there is zero interest for houses.
Wow, that's crazy.
People that were in the middle of negotiations just cut off negotiations. So basically, sitting in their office doing nothing. Where I do have to say that they expect this to be over in a couple of weeks, because people still need to move. But, you know, especially the people that, you know, want to move to a bigger house and didn't sell their own home yet. You know, what are you going to do? You know, you don't know if you're going to be able to sell it. You're not going to be able, you don't know if you're going to be able to get a mortgage, et cetera. So that's an insecure market, you know, but don't put your effort there at the moment, I would say. You know, it's like there's tons of markets that are very full of opportunity at the moment. Yeah. So. We hear, especially from e-commerce, you know, the people, you know, they can't even meet demand, you know, they're so, so freaking busy. So they need to automate, they need to visualize stuff and using dashboards, all kinds of opportunities for MarTech, at the moment. And I have to say, you know, people seem to be getting used to working from home, doing stuff remotely. As we had a little chat before this podcast, of course, you know, we were just sharing the differences between the US and Europe. And I would say the US is way more used to working remotely than we are here in Western Europe. You know, we tend to drive to our offices every day. So because it's all within driving distance. So half an hour, 45 minutes and you're everywhere. You know, that's different, but people that tend to, you know, they're getting used to it. They're using Microsoft Teams, Zoom, etc. So it's all stabilizing after a week, and next week might be business as usual. So and we have good hopes, and the signs are very very positive here. So I would say, yeah, we have to look at the opportunity. But just apart from this whole, let's say, bump in the economy, you know, you have a successful company. What have you done marketing-wise and martech-wise to become successful? What kind of successful tips can you share with us? And maybe you have some failures that you want to share with us that you want us to avoid.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I try to work on I try to actually be involved because I got a few irons in the fire in my actual company, probably about 15 hours a week or so. And so a lot of what is enabled me to do that are these marketing systems and processes and automating things through technology or empowering other people to make decisions on stuff. So as I look at that and I think, okay, what has actually helped us grow? It's been a lot of building the market funnels and building the systems. And it's been the important, there's this matrix. I think this guy named Chris McChesney and a few others came up with it, but maybe somebody else, Dwight D. Eisenhower in the decision matrix. That's where an X and a Y axis. And often we as, you know, individuals or entrepreneurs or marketing professionals, we go to the things that are urgent because we think that is just what we do. And often there's a dopamine rush from accomplishing things. So sometimes we even do things that aren't urgent or important. And we do those just because they're easy. So I think what's enabled me to do all this stuff up to this point has been continuously every single day trying to work on the thing that is not always urgent, but is the most important. And so maybe once a week or so, I'll ask myself, okay, what am I doing to drive leads today, tomorrow, a month from now, and 6 months and a year from now. And so I'll write that down, and I'll actually try to write down what are the things that I'm actually doing and what can I be doing differently. So recently that's, updating my email, my lead generating email sequence. It's basically an email nurture campaign when someone downloads a PDF from my website, updating that and seeing if I can increase conversion rates there. So it's just a lot of these little small optimizations. There's nothing really big or sexy that I've done that I think has gotten me to the point where I'm at today. But it's just been optimizing everything to the one, top 1% that it's possible. If I look back to maybe what I've not done well, I think ultimately, the thing that comes to my mind is selling is not always my favorite gift. And I'd say not my favorite gift. It's just not always my biggest strength. And so I've had to learn a lot about selling, and I think ultimately the thing that has gotten me to the point where I feel really comfortable with it and I love it and I've gotten good at it is repositioning my perspective. So the times that I've really failed and I've lost a lot of money or I've had big proposals out that have not gone through, what I've done wrong is not scheduling a follow-up meeting. I think that's a great idea, but it's been having the wrong mental view of it, the wrong view. So if I come into it and go, okay, I have to convert this person, I'm really nervous, this is a lot of money, et cetera, I'm not going to be successful because I'm not looking out for the best interest of my customer or my potential client. So if I can step back for a second and see myself as the guide, like we were talking about earlier, and go, all right, I'm here to help them overcome the things that they're afraid of or the objections that they have so that they can get the thing that they really need, which is marketing for my company. And so if I'm able to see myself as the guide and not as somebody who wants something from them, but as the person who's trying to help them get what they need, then I'm going to be a much better salesperson because I'm going to be empathetic to the moments that they go, oh, it feels like a lot of money. I'm not sure if we're ready to make that investment or whichever. If I hear it through the lens of I have to close a sale, I'm just going to dismiss those things and try to minimize it. But if I hear them as the guide, I'm going to go, hey, I totally understand that. And honestly, I would feel that same way if I was you. And then I can walk them through how it makes sense for them to actually work with caffeine.
Cool. So, but well, basically what you're saying also here is you're talking about assumptions, et cetera. People in sales like to learn as one of the first mistakes to avoid, right? So don't assume anything where you're in a sales pitch. The other thing which I hear here is like set realistic goals. Because you know, if you're in a sales meeting, and I'm in sales myself, right? So, and I've been for years, and I coach people in sales meetings, etc. When you're going into a sales meeting, you need to have goals, but they need to be realistic. So if you're into a big pitch, you can't expect people to sign that off. So don't let that be during a first meeting, for example. So don't let that be your goal. Make sure your goal is like a realistic goal, and draw yourself a path which you want to follow to in the end close that deal. So you have to have like sub goals where you would really focus on achieving those instead of the big goal at the end, because otherwise you're always going to be very frustrated because you don't make your you don't realize your goals. So speaking of sales methodology, do you have like a sales process in place?
Yeah. So I'll just walk through how most of our leads come in. They sometimes will come in, we actually run our own advertising. So we practice what we preach, and we do like Facebook. Yeah. So that's good. We do Facebook and Google advertising. And sometimes we'll play with like LinkedIn or whatever, but mainly those two are consistently running. So they'll either hear about us that way. They'll hear about us through a referral, word of mouth. Or we also have got a pretty strong, search engine result, at least in our niche of StoryBrand. And so a lot of people come in that way. So those three main ways, they come on our website. Maybe they'll download the PDF on our website. They'll get entered into our leads, our essentially a lead nurture campaign. Or maybe they'll just decide, I want to go ahead and work with these guys. They look legit. And so they'll decide to fill out a form. And so they request a call. And so once they request a call, I'm really vet them at that point. I ask them, I know we all know as marketers, right? The less form fields that you ask, the more people you're going to have to fill it out. But at this point, if I look at my values, I'm not always looking for more customers. I'm looking for the right customers. And so I have a lot of qualifying questions on there. I try to make it as short as possible, but I really need to make sure these are the right people that my company can help and our marketing will be profitable for. So I ask them all these questions. And then at that point, I can decide, all right, am I going to take this meeting or not? Because sometimes I'm like, that person does not make enough revenue right now and it's not make sense for us to work with them. Or they're too big. There's occasions where I'm like, I have no idea I can't help you. Like you're a Fortune 500 company and I'm like, this is above my scope, to be honest. So there are those times too, as much fun as that contract would be to land. And so then I hop on the sales call. I've got a sales script. I try to refresh it. I've got a general idea of what I want. I ask a lot of at a really high level without giving the whole script away, but it's basically asking a ton of qualifying questions and honestly trying to get to understand their business and what's going to be best for them. And so then I present on the phone, hey, here's what I would suggest, whether you work with us or not. Here's what I think you should do. And this is what's going to make you the most money. And then if I can, we'll talk numbers and we'll see if I can close them then. If I can't, then we'll schedule up a follow-up call. And sometimes I'm not sure what to quote in that moment, right? Give me a little while, give me a week. Let's schedule a follow-up time. Like I got a call later today for a medical sales company. Like they sell capital equipment. So basically when hospitals are outfitting their entire hospital with medical equipment, these guys are the ones who supply all that. And I was like, I have no idea where to start with that. So I said, hey, give me a week. Let me go to the drawing board and talk to a few people and let me get back to you. So today I'm going to walk them through a proposal. And this might be one of those ones where we're probably not going to close. He's going to have to bring a couple other people in the decision. So it might be, a month, 2 months. But I've had people that have followed up like 7 months later, I sent the proposal and they're like, hey, I'm ready to work together. And I'm like, where have you been? Like you dropped off the face of the earth,
So. Yeah, I've seen that happen as well. What you're saying, of course, is very very true. So you need to have that script in place. You need to have your focus on achieving those goals, etc. So I would say, without that process, no one can even be successful. So is there anything before we end this session, because you need to wrap up and have another meeting in a couple of minutes. So is there something you would like to share with the audience before we end the session?
Yeah, I think what I'm about to say might sound kind of fluffy, and I hope you don't write me off here. And I hate the term self-care and balance. I think they're so dumb. I don't have much balance in my life, but I really do think that your bottom line will grow if you are focusing on the other hours outside of your business. Like if you optimize the hours outside of the hours you're actually working, I think your bottom line is going. I know your bottom line will grow if you get more sleep and if you take care of your nutrition and if you hydrate properly and you work out, and all of these things are going to balance your hormone level. They're going to help you improve your cognitive function, your decision-making ability. And so if like you're stressed and cortisol is, you know, there's a lot of cortisol in your brain at that moment, it's inhibiting your frontal lobe, which means that you can't think at the executive level that we probably want you to think. And then also it suppresses serotonin and oxytocin. And your hormones are probably also off balance because you're probably not getting enough sleep or you're drinking before you go to bed. That's all going to affect your ability to close that sale. And so I'm not just saying, hey, do self-care just for your own sake because you're worth it. I mean, you are. But really, if you want to grow your bottom line, I suggest focusing on the things that are offline. They're not online activities, stuff that's directly making you money, but it's going to really help you grow your company or land more sales.
Great advice, Evan. So no, I think no one's going to write you up for that. You don't have to be scared of that. You know, it is actually great advice. Apart from let's say the technical MarTech advice that we usually have, I really appreciate that. And you know, thank you for being on the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our channel. Also, if you would like to be a guest on the show, or if you know anyone that should be a guest to our show, drop me an email through e.crum@marketingguys.nl or take a look at the website marketingguys.com. Thanks for listening.